You know, one of the challenges, quite frankly, I'm facing is there's so much truth in the upper room discourse, there's no way I'm going to finish. We'll just skim the surface and hopefully give you a teaser taste that'll help you to get into this treasury of promises and encouragement that Jesus speaks to his dearest disciples on the eve of telling them, I'm leaving. I'm leaving you behind. Oh, and you're going to fail me terribly. And in this upsetting news, this double whammy, Jesus then spends a lengthy time sharing with them needed truth and promises that will help them get through. I have a feeling we're in the same boat of needing some sustaining, encouraging strength in the Lord in order to make it through this ever-lengthening, interminable trial called COVID-19 and all that has come because of it. So let's pray, shall we? Let's seek the Lord. Lord, I'm very mindful in my own inadequacy and very hopeful that your adequacy is more than enough to take your word in the power of the Spirit, inserting it into the heart of hearts of your people where it can germinate and grow, refreshing them, reminding them, stirring them up by way of reminder. I pray for a time of deep encouragement and refreshment in Christ for us today. So would you come to my aid and help me to do at least some justice to this very rich passage that we're going to look at. In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we looked at being abandoned by people. And that's what the disciples were feeling. Jesus was leaving them behind, and they couldn't come with him. And so we looked at the two encouragements Jesus gave, which is, this separation is temporary. I'm coming back. It's not forever. And the second thing was, and I'm sending my Holy Spirit, who will minister to you my very presence. So I will live within you through the Spirit, every last one of you, wherever you are, I'm there as well. Very encouraging, isn't it, to have that perspective of the presence of the Lord with us, even when he's physically absent. He is still very powerfully present in the Spirit within each of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You have Bible authority on that. Those are direct quotes of Scripture. But we want to move on to another kind of abandonment, and that is being abandoned to circumstances. I had this picture of, let's say you were falling off a boat and someone was holding on to you and they let go. For a moment, you'd say, why did you let go? That's being abandoned by. And then you turn around and see the ocean waves coming and you'd realize, I've been abandoned to the ocean. And it's much bigger than I am, and I don't think I'm going to survive. This second aspect of what we feel like we've been abandoned to is one of those low-grade fevers, one of those things that can afflict us and discourage us and embitter us if we're not careful, if we feel abandoned by God to this circumstance we're abandoned to, that we'd rather not live. Maybe it could be institutions that have harmed us. Maybe we felt abandoned to an institution or abandoned to a government that's against us, or to nasty, abusive bosses and coworkers and wimpy companies that won't deal with them, or being an outside-the-box person like myself, and I have this lifelong, fraught relationship with bureaucracies, institutions, and customer service call centers. I just do. It just, for some reason, weird stuff happens to me, and I have to go round and round and round because they just have this little box and I don't fit. Very frustrating, but we can feel so abandoned to that and frustrated. Or maybe we feel abandoned to just the inevitability of aging. We're getting older, our bodies are breaking down, our minds are forgetful, our friends are dying. We feel less noticed, less important. Maybe you feel abandoned to a chronic illness. Or maybe chronic pain, and God isn't taking it away. And so the thing that we wrestle with is, has he forsaken us to these situations and groups and these mobs and bullies and institutions and toxic people and abusers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the big question is, are we at the mercy of that? Or are we at the mercy of God alone? And I'm not talking theologically, I'm talking emotional theologically. In your heart, what are you feeling in this pandemic? Abandoned to it? Or the Christ going through it with you powerfully? Well, let's take a look now at the third very encouraging comfort that Jesus gives, and that would be found in John 14. Let's turn to verse 25, which we'll refer to a little later, but Jesus wants to help us in the position we find ourselves in. So he says this, verse 25 of 14, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." So can you imagine his poor disciples thinking about how he's leaving and how they're going to fail him, and he's just like piling on the words, and the sermon is going on and on and on. And when you want to remember something but you're given too much, what's the thing you forget? You're just, I'm going to forget this. I'm not going to remember all of this. And so Jesus says, yeah, I'm saying a lot to you, I'm speaking with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he did, at Pentecost, the Spirit came upon the church, and it now indwells every believer. Job done. He will do two things. He will teach you all things. Now, as wonderful as Pastor Matt or myself are, by the grace of God, we have an inner teacher in the Holy Spirit who will teach us the Word of God and the principles of the Lord and the life of the Lord at all times. That radio station never stops playing. You just got to tune your dial to make sure you're picking it up. But the teaching is always going on. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said you. You will have, through the Spirit, the ability to remember what you need to remember when you need to remember it, when I put you in situations where you need it. Does that make sense? What a relief. Oh, my poor, terrible memory is not, my fate is not in the hands of my forgetting. It's such a comfort. And Jesus goes on. He will bring to your remembrance, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now what's interesting is, the fruit of the Spirit we see in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. What's interesting is, if you kind of marry that to this, is the peace of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's the peace of Christ that's the fruit of the Spirit. Christ is in perfect relationship, absolute harmony with the Father. We are right as rain. With the Lord, we have peace, serenity, forever and ever and ever. We are radically right. There is no hostility, no grounds of offense, no cause of conflict between us. Thanks be to Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And therefore, because we're right with God in him, and all is at peace, and all is tranquil and in harmony, we have his peace. And the Holy Spirit ministers that peace to your heart, even though circumstances are troubling. Even though people are annoying and argumentative and stubborn and naughty and disobedient. Even though politics is troubling and the nation is crumbling and the world order is shaking. By the way, all those things can totter and fall, but there is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. There is a reign of a king who can never be overthrown, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives you his peace in the Spirit. It's a gift. It's already yours. And if you turn to chapter 15, not only does he give us guidance and peace, But in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be miserable all your days. No, that's not what he says. He says, these things I have spoken to you so my joy, not more of your concocted, worked up kind of trying to be happy. That's not what he's talking about. He wants to insert his joy into your life. Not a native joy, but a foreign, an intervention of joy into you. A gift. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be where? In you. So that your joy may be full. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. We need guidance because we are so confused and ignorant and we don't know what to do and what's really going on. We need peace because we are at risk and vulnerable. So many threats and frights are coming our way. We need joy because we know such pain and sorrow in this life. And thank God this life and what the paltry things it offers are not all there is. Thank the Lord that through Jesus and what he did on the cross and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father and then sending the Spirit through that mighty complete work, we now have not only his presence by the Holy Spirit, but his guidance, his peace, his joy. When my oldest was about 3 years old, I forget who sent us this little book, but it was titled, Walk With Me. I'm like, ooh, I like that title. And it goes something like this. Open the door, wider, more. Feel the warming morning, mellow yellow sun. Feel the tug of the blue sky breeze. Hear the leaves rustle restless in the trees. Hold my hand, walk with me. And this girl who looks suspiciously like our oldest in this book goes off into an adventure and they see the pigeons in the park and there's the play swings and there's all these places the parent takes and then a crisis happens. Heavy now, legs won't go now, tired, carry me please, carry me. The little girl was done. She didn't want to walk anymore. She was tired. And what's funny is the parent says, oh no, you can do it. Yes, you can. Hold my hand. That's what we feel like. I'm tired of COVID-19. I'm tired of this frustration. Legs are heavy now. Won't go now. Pick me up and take me out of this. I'm done. And the Lord is saying, oh no, I've sent you my Spirit. I've given you my joy, peace, and guidance. Yes, you can. Hold my hand. His comforting gifts. Let's continue into John 16 for the next precious thing the Lord gives us. John 16, verses 1 through 6, we talk about his sustaining word. Not only does he put the Holy Spirit in us, he has some things he tells us. Like a whole bunch of things. Specifically, his words to us. His words to us in a time of abandonment and frustration and sorrow and threat. As he's leaving, but not leaving. His sustaining word. And here's what Christ says. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. I know it's going to be tough and things are going to trip you up. So I'm telling you some things so that won't happen. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. These things they will do because they have neither known me nor my Father. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. The Helper will not come, but if I go, I will send him to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit does a couple things. In the bottom of chapter 15, he gives us the ability to testify of the truth when we're facing hostility, and he gives us grace in the face of hostility to not stumble but stand firm. Do we need that? Do we desperately need that right now? And where do we find these promises and these reminders of what he has given us? And any idea what we've been looking at here this whole morning? My friends, can I just say something that Matt would love to say, but doesn't dare tell you, okay? And pastors just love it when a guest speaker does this. You know, he starts sweating bullets and what's he going to do? What's he going to say? Can I just say something? Oh, yeah, here it comes. Yeah, get ready. How much time are we spending watching some news program, 24/7 news feed, tell us how bad the world is, and the same information every half an hour, they just cycle through and cycle through and cycle through? What if we spent that only 30 minutes on that, and we spent an hour in the Word? Practical step. Do you think we would be encouraged? Do you think we would be refreshed and reminded? Do you think we'd maintain and hold on to our perspective, that we'd be fortified in Christ, that we'd be built up and deepened in him and draw closer to him? Now, I love to stay informed. I enjoy current events as much as the next person. Okay, amen. It's good to be an informed person. It's good to know what's going on, things to pray about. But the fallen world will never feed my soul or encourage my heart in Jesus Christ. And there just comes a point where you got to park your person in front of this book and pray to Jesus through the Spirit, Lord, show me, teach me, help me. And hear him say, oh no, you can do it. Yes, you can. Hold my hand. That actually wasn't too extreme, was it, Matt? I was really nice in saying it that way. So I just want you to know. You got the nice one. All right. So let's skip down now to the end of chapter. Actually, I want to just mention something real quick, and that is when my 18-year-old, well, my firstborn, I don't know, what is it about your firstborn kid? You know, they break the mold, they brings parents to their knees, you know, something about that first child. But, and our firstborn, she was great at that. She just, you know, shattered all of our illusions and, you know, exposed stuff. And so she was 18 years old and stubborn and not listening, and her mom and I warned, don't do this, don't take this step, don't want to do it. The minute I'm 18, I'm doing it anyway, and there's nothing you can do to stop me, and I'm thinking, oh, great. Well, then grandma, my mom, wrote like this 4-page typed letter. I mean, this thing was an epistle. This thing was just, it was loaded. And she talked about her own lack of, you know, foresight and missed opportunities. And my mom got her AA degree at like 73. She was a lifelong learner. And she encouraged my daughter, please don't take this step. Please make another choice. Now, my daughter didn't listen. She made the mistake. She's paid some terrible prices. But thank God, the circles come around. You know, she is the joy of our lives. She has, you know, been restored to the Lord, and all's not perfect and great, but, you know, when someone's pointed the right direction, God will take care of the rest. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right. And there's one possession my daughter reads over and over and over. and that's her grandma's letter. And you and I have something even better. We have the words of Jesus in the upper room discourse. And he knows we're not going to listen, and he knows we'll forget, and he knows we'll get into situations where we don't necessarily respond rightly or well, and we fail. And then he says, here are some resources in my presence, and here are my promises in my word, and it's still true. It's still for you. Now, there's one final thing I'm going to mention as we wind down, and that is, I don't know about you, but we have so many people out there, commentators, opinionators, influencers, blah, 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 blah. You know, everyone's just like mouthing off their opinion, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus, it'd be easy to hear him that way. Oh, he's just telling, you know, he's just talking. But in verse 31, Jesus ends his talk before his prayer, and he says, actually, verse 32, behold, the hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. Yeah, what I said earlier, it is going to happen. You're going to save your own skin. You're going to run away. You're going to scatter. You're going to abandon me. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. And he overcame the world how? By getting a free pass from the suffering and difficulty? No, he got the worst of the worst deal. He got to the nth degree suffering, condemnation, shame, guilt, abandonment, rejection, torment, torture, abuse, etc., etc. He clung to his Father through all of it, however painful it was, to the end, even through death and beyond to the resurrection. And you know what Jesus gave us? An example. It says in 1 Peter 2, leaving us an example to follow in his steps. Hebrews 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. For you have not yet endured in the fight against sin to the point of shedding blood. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, follow him. He set the pace. He blazed the trail. He's given us an example. And he's shown it is possible in the resources of God, in the resources of the Spirit. It is possible to go through these trials, because he mentions in the ruler of this world is coming. He mentions persecution. He mentions adversity. We're not going to be exempted from the worst the enemy and this fallen world system is going to throw our way. We don't get a free pass. But what we get is the presence and the resources of the Spirit, the presence of Jesus, the promises of God, and the example of Christ right here. Anytime we want to remind and refresh and be strengthened, right here. So that like him, we can endure to the end. We can persevere and triumph. We can be the last people standing when all else fails and falls. I'll end with this story. When I was growing up at a rather non-evangelical Presbyterian church, you catch my drift, okay? It was frozen, chosen, plus apostasy, you know, so best of all worlds. No, I'm just sarcastic. But it's interesting that in the back of that church was a stained glass window of Jesus the Good Shepherd holding a little lamb around his shoulders. And do you know what our core problem is? My core problem, your core problem, you know what it is? After a while, we start climbing. We start elevating. I start thinking, oh, I'm an experienced Christian. I've been here so many years. I'm a key member. I'm a Bible student. And we start having this swelling head. We without even realizing it, we're just becoming elevated and proud. It's so subtle. And then we stop listening. And then we start doing our own thing. And then we take this book as optional. Oh, our theology hasn't changed, but our life practices says it's my best thinking and my will. That's the bottom line. And you can be highly religious and a million miles away from Christ. And we know it. I want to encourage you to see this picture of a little lamb and to join me again. I need to relearn this lesson all the time. Join the club. You're normal, okay? I need to step away from trying to be a ram and choose instead to be his lamb. I need a shepherd to carry me, to be with me, to put his presence in me, to give me his peace, his guidance, his joy, to give me a treasured letter I can read over and over and over. However foolish and mistake-prone and sinful and ignorant I've been, I can come back to it. And finally, someone to show me it's possible and leave an example. I'm a little lamb. And so are you. We don't have to be important and high and knowledgeable and great to be loved, to be his. And in fact, when we give that up, things get a whole lot simpler and calmer and more peaceful and more joyful. And we start remembering what God the Lord is showing us, and his resources and his love and his life start flowing through us again. And we didn't realize this low-grade COVID pride 19 or whatever analogy you want to use has been afflicting us. And so that's my gentle challenge. Let's get small and low and come under the great and mighty Savior. Let him be the King of the universe. Let him be in charge. He'll put people in their place. Trust me. By the way, did you know the Lord puts people in their place? And he doesn't need your help. And did you also know that he doesn't need your permission to run the universe? He can do whatever he wants. He's God. And he doesn't need your opinion. But he sure wants that intimate friendship and intimate father, son, savior, saved, shepherd, lamb. That's what he wants. And when we have that, the flow starts happening. And beautiful fruit starts happening too. Let's pray. Lord, obviously, we can go on and on and on. There's just so much to the riches of just this one discourse that Jesus gives to his disciples. Please, Lord, please tenderize us, humble us, remove the burden of importance and bigness and highness and greatness from us. Let us just be today your little lamb, and receive these blessings and these promises and this life and all that we have in the Spirit and in your word again. In Jesus' name, amen.